Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. And today we're going to review the quiz show episode of the first season of I Love Lucy, which is the fifth episode overall that they aired. This one was directed by Mark Daniels, and this one was also written by all these famous repetitive names that we have: Bob Carroll Jr., Madeline Davis, and Jess Oppenheimer, and originally aired November 12th, 1951.
And there's also some guest cast, Frank Nelson, John Emery, Phil Ober, Lee Miller, Hazel Pierce, and then John Stephenson. And so just a little look into next week, we're going to do a spotlight on Frank Nelson. And
that's
then
gonna be fun.
At some point, we really need to have a spotlight on John Stephenson as well, because I don't know him as well, but his name has already come up so many times.
Oh my gosh.
An announcer in commercials. So he's not in the show as much. Like, you don't see his face, right? Like, it's just
the voice. Yeah, yeah.
But and I think it'd still be interesting to look
recurring
into that.
Characters, yeah, that will eventually shine a spotlight on, because any I Love Lucy fan, they recognize the same, you know, recurring characters that they use
guest
for others.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the reason we're starting with Frank Nelson as our first guest star spotlight is because he does come back so much throughout the show. So we'll look forward to that. And well, you guys can look forward to that next week.
Yeah.
And we'll enjoy recording it too. So the synopsis for this show goes as follows. Mm-hmm. When Ricky learns that Lucy is several months in arrears in paying the household bills, he takes over the budget and cancels her charge accounts. To cheer her up, Ethel takes Lucy to a radio show called Females Are Fabulous, starring Freddie Fillmore. Lucy becomes a contestant, and Freddie offers her $1,000 if she will introduce an actor to Ricky in the evening as her long-lost first husband.
I love that. Ooh. Just what a random thing to use as a, you know, a game show premise. You know, introduce your
husband.
Females
will do anything.
Yeah, because we're just that
stupid.
Stupid. Yeah, I wasn't gonna say it, but yeah.
I think he said. Doesn't he say that, or that William?
Women. Yeah, I think he does. He does insult
us. I think he uses that word because I was like, whoa. There's a lot of things in this show that, like, yeah, throw up my feminism flag. Yeah, I mean, that we'll talk about a little bit.
You have to be a feminist to know how much the misogyny is thrown around in this particular
episode. Oh yeah. But we won't jump on that soapbox just yet, because it starts out pretty chill with just, mm-hmm, Lucy and Ethel. And Lucy's going over her monthly books, basically, her, yeah, accounts. And just a fun fact, when they were doing the props for the record book that she has, mm-hmm, they took a record book. It's called Borum and Pease. So you can actually buy a record book just like that. And they bought it, and then they put up household accounts, like a sticker that said household accounts on the front. But it costs between $65 and $110 to buy one of these.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you can buy one if you really want to get a household account, like,
right,
kind of like a replica, make your own type thing. You can do that.
I love that she, I don't love, but she always has this panicked look on her face when it comes to money, having to speak to Ricky about it. And of course, that's the whole point of the show, is that he makes the money, she spends it unwisely because, like, again, women just don't know. But so she's, like you said, she's going over her household accounts, and Ethel comes in kind of trying to see what's going on, and she explains, and Ethel knows it's bad because she probably knows Lucy's habits, that, you know, she's not very good with budgeting. So she, my favorite part is her just throwing the bills in the air, just two hands. Kind of reminds me when she did the
Lazy Susan.
Yes,
they were
living in the country, and she and Ricky goes, you can't just decide this by spinning it on a lousy Susan.
And lousy.
So, yeah,
what I really like is when Ethel is like, what happens if they're all face up? And she's like, well, then those are the losers.
God. Okay, so maybe they have a point about her spending. Maybe there's a little truth.
They do, because so I wrote down the household accounts, right? So there's 50 cents for the newsboy.
Yeah.
39 cents for toothpaste, 15 cents for nail polish, and $245 for miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous, which is all the household utilities. What's funny is that she has to write out nail polish. I mean, it's just a very specific item. But, it's not just,
it really is. Even toothpaste, like 39 cents for toothpaste. And then, you know, I told you I really like looking at like money.
Inflation.
And so I didn't do the inflation. I should have.
I did it on the like what specifically, the prize money, which is okay, crazy.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
But like what 50 cents is, I'm guessing it's close to $5.
Probably.
But this is, you know, a week. So now for like a New York, for the New York Times weekly, it's $6.65 a week or $4.25 a week if you get a digital copy. So that's about $26.60 a month or $17 a month.
Wow.
Now I'm guessing because it's her household monthly household accounts that 50 cents for the newsboy is monthly, not weekly.
You might be right.
Which means that that's a huge jump because I said, you know, if it was 50 cents a week, then about $5, and you think the New York Times, that's a bit more expensive, like mm-hmm. that kind of makes sense.
Right.
But this is a monthly account. So it's just interesting to see.
Oh, you're right, it is, because when she's asked about what month are you paying, she says, it's not this month, it's not last month.
Jingle bells.
No, but you're getting warmer. She says stalling creditors for utilities, but this time they want less jolly and more money.
More money.
Yeah.
Toothpaste seems to have stayed. So 39 cents, $3.59 on average for toothpaste. You can get cheaper, you can get more expensive, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then 15 cents for nail polish. That's between $2 and $7. Wow. And that's okay, that's like low, mm-hmm. low balling, because you can get really expensive nail polish. But I was guessing, you know, when I was going through these numbers that she probably wasn't buying the most expensive stuff. So anyways, that was just interesting.
So $245 on the gas, electric, you know, the miscellaneous, the important stuff.
Who cares about that stuff?
Yeah, the miscellaneous. And so, like I said earlier, she wasn't paying this month. She wasn't paying last month. She wasn't paying the month before that. It was sometime before Christmas, or around Christmas time that she was paying the bills of, which is just crazy. I mean, it's crazy that if she lives that afraid to have to, you know, answer for this, that she keeps doing it anyway. and you know, it's kind of crazy.
It is kind of surprising to me that she's the one who does the accounts. I mean,
it almost I don't know. Like it's childlike. For example, like he's the parent and hands her a task just to see if she does it correctly. So it's not necessarily that he trusts her with the money. It's that let's see if she gets it right this time. And that's why she's always got the fear, you know, look on her face. I don't know.
I mean, okay. So here's where we can step on our first little soapbox. when he decides to take away her allowance, which we talked about, the idea of having an allowance and not making your own money. And yes, to teach her a lesson. There's and then taking away her charge plates. So, I mean, you look at this and you think, okay, as funny as this is supposed to be, you know, this is supposed to be a joke, it's supposed to be funny. She now has no money of her own at all for anything.
Right.
You know, and that's a big thing. Like,
it's cruel.
If you, I don't know, you want to get lipstick or a cup of coffee, you know, there's just so much that not having your own money takes away a lot of freedom.
Yeah, you're right about
that.
And
you become so much more dependent on the man or whoever's making the money.
Yeah. And I think it's like we've discussed before, there's always that threat is always there. And it's a recurring theme that she's always having to hide something from him, a purchase or having to explain it. You know, it's never, she's never comfortable. She's never like, you know, like the shows we watch now, the Real Housewives of something or another, they come home with these without having to explain what purchases they've made. Meanwhile, Lucy in the 50s is like, oh my God, I spent more than $200 on utilities or something. But
so we just discussed the charge plate. And so I wanted to explain that to anyone who doesn't know what a charge plate is.
Yeah,
because you don't see it. You don't see it in the show. It's basically the predecessor to a modern credit card. They were used in the early 60s. They're made of aluminum or white metal plates. They're about the size of a dog tag. They actually come with these little like leather sheets you can put over them. Mm-hmm. And it has the customer's name and address. They were issued mostly by department stores. Some oil companies had them, but really that just showed the store. It was like a credit card. It showed the store your name and your address, and they put the money on that and you paid it at the end of the month instead of right then.
Yeah. I think Macy's was a charge plate company.
Yep. And I think they mention, you know, because they didn't have any like a credit card number. So they talked about, I think Fred mentions to Ethel that he'll pound down her name,
the numbers, stuff to hammer down the names, which makes you amount. Think like a credit card now, you know, you kind of the numbers are you could feel them, and so of course you could hammer them down, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
so then did you want to add anything more to that?
I was just gonna say, I think if you pounded down the numbers of a credit card today, it wouldn't do a whole lot because it's all in the strip.
So after she gets in trouble, if you will, and you know, Ethel comes in, she tells her that he took away her charge plate, then she tells her to kind of get her out of this funk, that she's going to a radio show, to the Freddie Fillmore show, which of course we hear about later when Ethel wants to go to Hawaii, and they try to kind of do a game show for the Freddie Fillmore show to get Ethel and Fred to go to Hawaii, and Lucy pretends to be their mother, or his mother, or her mother. They don't know whose mother it is at the end of the show, but he also plays Frank Nelson, like we'll talk about later, plays Freddie Fillmore in that show as well. But this show in particular that he's going to go watch, or they're going to go watch, is Females Are Fabulous, which is more like Females Are Stupid.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Before we get into that, there's a little mistake. So when she's walking, she's introduced by Freddie Fillmore, mm-hmm. and she walks in through the curtains, you can actually see the Ricardo's kitchen.
Oh,
so you didn't see that. You should take a look at it, because that's when funny. She opens it, because you know how they use all the same sets,
and right,
so they just cover it up. So I thought that was kind of funny. So yes, she gets there, she becomes a contestant. Every time she goes to a radio show, somehow she's the contestant.
Yeah. You're right. She's always chosen.
I mean, obviously, but you know, it's just a thought.
Freddie Fillmore, like you spoke of earlier, is we're going to do a spotlight on him, but just kind of like a quick mention. Anybody who's an I Love Lucy fan has seen his face and heard his voice 100 times over. And so of course he's later, towards the end of the show, he's Ralph Ramsey, you know, the neighbor in Connecticut.
Yes.
He's Freddie Fillmore. He's Dickie Davis and Ben Benjamin, the agent or talent scout. And then the train conductor, when she stops the train by pulling the handle, that's him getting very angry at her. And and the waiter that quits when she changes her mind a little too many times. The premise of the contest, if you will, is her singing a song wearing this long bathing suit.
Females are fabulous.
Welcome to another session
Our Females Are Fabulous, our very outstanding program based on the theory that any woman is willing to make an idiot out of herself in order to win a prize. Now, our first contestant today, a lovely little lady who's going to try for our $1,000 jackpot, Mrs. Ricky Ricardo. Come on out here, Mrs. Ricardo. We're going to have a lot of fun, aren't we, Mrs. Ricardo?
Yeah.
Tell me, how would you like to go to the beach this afternoon?
Oh, I'd like that.
You like that. Well, of course, we can't go to the beach, so we're going to do the next best thing. We're going to bring the beach to you. Bring the beach in here, fellas. Come on, get it right in here. That's it. Set it right down there. That's it. Oh, isn't that a beautiful beach? Come on, right onto the beach. That's it, Mrs. Ricardo. Oh, look at that sand. Isn't that beautiful? Hey, why don't you take off your shoes so you can wiggle your toes in the sand? Don't you always do that when you're down at the beach?
Yes.
Yeah, so do I. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? That's it. You get it on her, boys. Get it on her. That's it. Oh, say, isn't that beautiful? I can't. You, that really does something for you. Long bathing suit. Yes, sir. Oh, and then, too, we've got a beach umbrella here. You know, we wouldn't want you to get sunburned. The sun's awfully bright down here at the beach. And we do want you to feel... Oh, that's real fetching, that is. Yes, sir, that really does something for you. Y'all ready for our little game now? Well, I'll tell you what we want you to do. Do you know the song, My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean?
Yeah.
You do? It's a lovely little song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what we want you to do is sing that song. And every time you mention something that has to do with water, we're going to do our best to make you feel that you're right down at the beach.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, you go ahead.
My Bonnie lies over the ocean.
Time you see, I didn't squirt you because the last line had nothing to do with water. Now, do you get the idea of our little game?
Yes, I see.
See?
Listen, I've got a notion.
An ocean! Oh, that was wonderful, Mrs. Ricardo. Yes, sir. How about giving her a big hand? Naughty, Mrs. Ricardo.
Well, where's my $1,000?
Oh, no. You don't get the $1,000 for this. This was just a little test to see if you qualify for the $1,000. And she does qualify, doesn't she, audience? Now, in just a minute, I'm going to tell you the simple little thing you have to do in order to actually win the $1,000. But first, we want to present a check for $1,000 to the winner of last week's jackpot, Mrs. Peterson. Come right on in here, Mrs. Peterson. Well, now, Mrs. Peterson, it wasn't so tough going over Niagara Falls in a barrel, was it? Well, here's your check. It seems to be a little shaken up.
Yes, my Bonnie lies over the ocean.
And so the origin of that is I looked up, you know, the origin of my Bonnie, and there's a few different explanations of what my Bonnie is. And one that I saw was it was attributed to composer H.J. Fuller. It's also thought to be traditional Scottish folk music, which my Bonnie refers to Charles Edward Stuart, commonly known as Bonnie Prince Charlie. And Prince Charlie had to hide from the English who were searching for him everywhere. He escaped on a boat, which took him over the ocean, which is why it's said there, to the Isle of Skye in the Northwest. From there, a ship brought him over the sea to France. So This says it's a very parodied song. I did hear about four different versions of it, which is interesting because I only know it from this particular episode. Had you ever heard that? It's a nursery rhyme, apparently.
No, yeah. I mean, I just know it as the nursery rhyme. So I had never heard the back story to it. I just knew that it was a Scottish folk song, which I thought was iconic, ironic, considering her heritage. Mm-hmm. Also, I just want to point out that so much hate for the Scottish,
the Scottish episode.
Scottish it episode. It is unanimous. So much hate.
They need to remove that from the lexicon.
Oh, I love it.
That's so funny. It's just you. Just
me.
Just give Ziva the episode and remove it from all the other.
Listen, it isn't my top favorite, but I just like some of the songs. They're just so stupid. We'll talk about them later.
That's so
funny.
Yeah,
it's one of those ones where it's just stupid funny to me, and I like it.
Stupid funny.
So she sings the song, and every time she says anything related to the ocean or the sea or the beach, water, she gets sprayed with what are those? The soda.
Seltzer, like those spray
bottles,
and it looks pretty aggressive when he does it too. It's not just like a little spray. It's like
face.
It's painful. That looks pretty painful.
So two things. One is that apparently she takes off her false eyelashes to do this stunt, and she does the same thing when the washing machine explodes in Never Do Business with Friends, season 2, episode 31.
Yep, whenever there's a pie or a water or something, the lashes
right in the face
up.
I mean, that makes sense. It makes sense. But also, you know, when I was watching it, I went, it's so silly to think they obviously did this for TV sake, because radio, this stunt would be nothing. She would just be singing, My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean with small pauses and maybe a little spit sound.
A sound of spray.
But you wouldn't see it, and that's what this is, such a physical visual gag that you'd want to see it. So it's not really a radio thing, but it makes
what's funny
sense
is that
they
she's got
it.
the bonnet and the long bathing suit, but that doesn't help her because it's all being splashed in her face. So it doesn't really matter, but it's very aggressive. So she says, I have a notion, and then he screams, an ocean.
Oh, I see. See.
It's just, she spits it back out. It's just, you could tell some of those things are ad-libbed, but they're just so beautifully executed that it just works.
They just all go with it. And so after that, she's going, okay, where's my $1,000? And he went, don't get it yet.
We skipped over that. Before she even does this, you got Mrs. Peterson over here with her cast and her.
Oh, no. That, right? She comes out after the Bonnie part. So it's the Bonnie. She asks about the money. Then Mrs. Peterson comes out.
Okay.
And then she questions whether she wants to actually do this stuff.
Okay, you're right. Wouldn't it be easier if I went over Niagara Falls in a paper bag? Okay, I guess.
Mrs. Peterson's played by Hazel Pierce, who is actually Lucille Ball's camera and lighting stand-in. So we're going to have to do a spotlight on her someday. Mm-hmm. Don't know when. We've got lots. We're just adding to
there's
list.
There's a lot
here.
Going on.
Yeah. Yes. But she often appeared on camera, obviously as a stand-in. You wouldn't know, back things like that. Mm-hmm. But here she's unrecognizable, head to toe. She went over Niagara Falls in a barrel.
As one
apparently
does.
She survived, because a lot of them don't survive.
Now, $1,000, because this is what Mrs. Peterson risked her life for in the 50s, is for inflation today is $10,175. Still not enough to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel and break
absolutely
everybody's
not
body.
And and how much is she gonna have
medical
to pay
bills
for medical bills? It just all goes back to medical bills,
because after all, females are dummies. Oh my god.
fabulous.
Sure. So and then after Mrs. Peterson comes out, is of course they tell her what her task is, which is introducing a random man to Ricky as her former husband, who she thought had disappeared. And that's when she says, can I just go over Niagara Falls in a paper bag? Because that would be easier than trying to explain to my hot-blooded
Ricky.
Cuban husband that I have a previous husband I never told you about.
Yes. After that point, we cut away from that scene. So before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the show, the title of the radio show, which is Females Are Fabulous. It was originally titled Women Are Wonderful. And Lucy used to call it Husbands Are Horrible.
Right.
But the reason that they decided not to go with that name is because there was already a radio show called Women Are Wonderful. Oh. And it was completely different from what this show was. Not completely. It was the opposite spectrum, though. Instead of making women do, you know, stunts and stupid things, they had them performing charitable work instead. So
very, you know, different.
Uplifting women, you know. Yeah. So they wanted to make sure it wasn't mistaken mm-hmm. for that show.
Oh, that's interesting.
That was already on the air.
And so, of course, they only give her, you know, he's got the triangle and he's only given her 3 seconds to decide and
two, three.
And yes. Pressuring her. She's like, I'll do it. Of course you'll do it because women or female are fabulous. Oh,
yes.
Okay. So, you know, then they cut to the apartment and Ricky is, again, I think he's in his robe and just relaxing at home. And Lucy is very nervous. I mean, she's anxious. She's not playing subtle at all because she's expecting this random man to appear in her home.
What did it go from there down to Vivian? So it went from that scene to Vivian's scene.
You mean the homeless man? I can't remember the. Yeah, no.
Yeah, because I just wanted to point out that they definitely had to have Vivian see him. Mm-hmm. Right, introduce him, because if they didn't, then they wouldn't have known.
Well, I think it was a cutaway. I think it was Lucy looking anxious and then, you know, asking what's the matter. Nothing. Nothing. Okay, and then cut away to the scene where you have the John Emery as the homeless man, you know, or the
Harold Sam
Julius. We'll get to that later. And what's fun fact about John Emery, he was once married to another guest star of the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour, Tallulah Bankhead. I didn't know that. I just found that out.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm sorry. I jumbled it up. Before we go to see Emery, just a quick catch. As Ricky's reading his magazine, he's reading Variety. Which is a show business trader paper. Mm-hmm. On the back cover, there's an ad congratulating musical act Les Paul and Mary Ford for selling 4 million albums. But by the end of the year, and this, as we said, was shot, this was in October, by the end of the year, it reached 6 million, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
For, okay. Songs like The Tennessee Waltz, Mockingbird Hill, and How High the Moon.
Oh, nice.
So just an interesting thought. Yeah. A little thing. And then also in their living room,
mm-hmm.
when we get a good look at it, there's alcohol bottles, there's liquor bottles in the room, and that is taken out later because they didn't want people to think that the Ricardos were drunks, so they took that out and instead would have them drinking like champagnes. Oh, well, of course, Philip Morris.
Philip Morris is fine, but heaven forbid we have a drink or two at dinner.
Yeah, so she's so nervous, and that's another thing, you know, she's so nervous she can't light her cigarette, and of course, oh, yeah. Philip yeah. Morris, he, like, yes, yeah. Yeah, smoke.
So he's trying to get her face together with the match. That's funny. So cut to John Emery, who's playing Harold Sam or Julius, the homeless man. And so Ethel comes down and, you know, this is her apartment building. So she's very upset that he's, you know, looking through her trash and just being a vagrant. And, you know, she's trying to shoo him away. And so I love that he goes into different characters. He goes to help me, I'm a homeless person, to how dare you treat a injured vet this way.
Yes. Yes. And this is also the first time we see their back porch.
Yeah.
Which changes,
yes.
As you know, because never do business with, we'll bring that one up again, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Never do business with friends. They're right next to each other, basically pushing the washing machine back and forth.
Right.
And if you look at the layout in this, that wouldn't happen. And she's on the first floor and the Ricardos, I think, are on the third floor. So,
yeah, the continuity is not very good because we
Still working things out a little bit, you know, and whatever works best, I guess, at this point. So she does. She kicks him away. She's like, listen, this is my place. Go away. The street's that way. She points him to the street and she closes the door and he goes back the other way.
I love that she refers to him as a bum.
Yes.
Just a bum. You don't hear that very often. But so back to Lucy's apartment where he didn't actually leave. He made his way back into the apartment building, this time, you know, ringing Lucy and Ricky's apartment. And so when she opens the door, he's ready to give a speech. And she's like, darling, you've come back.
You can see the confusion on his face. But then he's like, all right, no, I'll go with this.
And it's immediate, too. He doesn't question it. He doesn't look fine. Sure.
There's like a split second of confusion. And then, he just goes right into that role.
Darling, yeah. After all these years, you've come back. I have.
Yes, I have.
That's funny.
So they're going through this whole lie. And at one point he mentions the Battle of Argonne Woods, which was during World War One, which 33 years ago. And so Ricky makes sure to point that out. Little shout out, the Battle of Argonne Woods was fought September 26, 1918, until the armistice November 11th, 1918, for a total of 42 days. 28,000 German lives were lost, 26,000 American lives were lost, and we don't know how many French lives. So it was the largest and bloodiest operation of World War One.
And so, of course, he does the math and it doesn't add up because she should be, what, 65 years old and or what is it, 45? And she says, there's no way you could be 65 years old. 45, yes, but not 65. One of those numbers. Then she gets all insulted. But, you know, after a while, after the homeless man and her are playing this silly game of this is my former husband. I love that line we keep referencing where he says, why do you want me to believe that you're married to Sam, Harold, Julius? And he's like, Julius. And then, of course, my favorite is, what have you done with the children? And
I thought you had them. I thought
you had them. And then keeps calling her doll face. It's just the.
Oh, yeah. I love that back and forth where he goes, okay, what's her name?
And
Lucy tries to butt in and Ricky goes, no, what's her name? And then she tries to butt in again. He's like, Lucy. And then that's, Lucy, be quiet. Or
the forgetful little Lucy.
Lucy.
Yeah.
So let's just say that during this whole time, he's going around their apartment, stuffing things into.
He's got a banana jacket and he's just going pants. He's opening up drawers and grabbing whatever's there and fruit.
Yes.
Yeah. And Ethel comes in because she's curious as to who the show sent over. So she comes, you know, through the back door and can kind of take a peek at him. And she's freaking out because her husband's very upset about this. And she's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And what's that bum doing here? You know, and what bum? So she has no idea that it's a homeless man that was downstairs that actually made his way up to her apartment. And she's been pretending to be, you know, married to him at some point.
It makes something already so complicated, so much more complicated, because of course, then, you know, the bum, Sam,
Harold,
Julius leaves. And, you know, not after, of course, they get all his stolen goods. He leaves, and then the real fake first husband comes in, yes. Arnold. And so now, of course, Lucy has to try to spin the whole idea that he is also her
real
husband,
fake first husband.
And you know, you don't see this whole exchange because it just kind of cuts away to the end.
This is actually Philip Ober, who at the time was married to Vivian Vance from 1941 to 1959. And Vivian, as we mentioned in the previous profile is she was married four times, and
he's the third.
He's the third. And you know, as you go looking through this information, the same thing kind of came out over and over, which is that this was one of the more abusive relationships she had. Mm-hmm. That he became kind of jealous of her success, and I think he left his own show business to do some sort of, I don't know, military work, diplomat work, something like that. But started to physically abuse her before they parted ways, which is something that's especially giving Vivian's fragile mental health at the time. It just makes you, mm-hmm. it makes it that much sadder. But he did play a couple of roles in I Love Lucy. One was the agent.
Don Juan is shelved.
Don Juan is shelved, and he's an agent, and they go downstairs to kind of scout him out to play an agent. And yeah, that's funny too, but it's interesting to have her husband there.
Yes. And so she, I guess it was reported that she, you know, she came to set with a black eye one day, and Lucy told Vivian, you know, if you don't divorce Ober, she would, like, if Vivian didn't divorce Ober, Lucy would,
yeah.
You know, the thought that of, you know, acting with your significant other. What's interesting though, is Don Juan is shelved. They weren't married at that time, were they?
I think they were married, yes, from 1941.
They were still married.
To 1959.
When Don won the
show. And 1959 was actually towards the end of the show. So yeah, they were married the entire time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so he's known for roles in films like Here to Eternity and North by Northwest. So he had his own, you know, acting career. It was nothing even remotely close to Vivian's success on this show and beyond. But I think that's what, you know, sparked between them negatively anyway. But yeah.
So
go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, it's ironic that her real life husband was on the episode, but Fred was not her, you know, on screen husband. Fred Mertz was not in this episode.
There was probably a Yankee game.
Yes, probably.
Probably a Yankee game. Yeah. And so of course, they have to show the clock, a close-up of the clock, which shows it's after midnight, because that was the point of the show to win, is that she has to keep up the line until 12 o'clock and she wins $1,000. And so Ricky has his bags packed because he's had just about enough of one night of fake husbands walking through the door. And so he's ready to take off with his suitcase and all that. And she's begging him to stay. And he doesn't say anything because I think he's waiting for the clock to strike 12, you know, before
he's win. Just waiting, seeing if she starts explaining.
Right.
And I think it's, when I looked at thought of the time frame, right, she had to stall for 4 hours, right? And you think, well, maybe her time with Sam Harold bum guy mm-hmm. was a long time, but you realize that Vivian said, you know, I threw him out not just 10 minutes ago from downstairs, you know, so that mm-hmm. gives you a time frame of how long he was there. And it wasn't very long.
Yeah.
And then she had to then explain again, you know, and like we said, that one would have been harder to pull off,
you know,
because now Ricky's getting even more frustrated and annoyed.
Quite the day full of anxiety. She woke up having to explain her bills and her budgeting and her spending. So she's freaking out over that. And then she goes to the show and she's got water sprayed in her face. That's more, you know, and then the next evening she has to explain who these two men are. And it's just, it's a lot. But she does eventually win the $1,000. And unfortunately, it doesn't last very long in her hand, because he goes down the list of bills and it's almost exactly $1,000. And he takes,
I think she
it.
Gets what, a few cents and change.
Yeah, like a dollar.
I can't
something.
Remember the exact change.
God, just no winning for all of that, just to not end up with anything. Is really.
But that means, because he said that it go back to normal, so that means that she does get her allowance back at least. You know, so she might not have the money in hand now, but she gets her charge plates back, yeah. and her money. So. And that's the end. She gets to pay off all the the bills, and that's the end of that episode. It was a funny episode.
It was.
I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of physical comedy in that, you know, which is always nice when they showcase Lucille Ball's abilities, physical abilities, and that being sprayed in the face is, I think, again, we spoke about this before, what made her stand out from all the other starlets of those days, where every, you know, you can't imagine some of these beautiful actresses being okay with being sprayed in the face that way. They would
just multiple not, times
multiple yes. and rehearsal probably and all of that, and they yeah. were probably not very happy. So after this, you touched on us hitting or doing a spotlight on Frank Nelson. You know, he's very famous for his radio days and appearances on Lucy and the like. And then after that, we follow up with the audition, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah. So really I'm just so excited. We're, you know, we're a few weeks into the actual airing of our episodes. And if you guys have been following along, we're just really thankful for how many people have already reached out to us, how many people have sent us emails, followed us on Instagram and Facebook. You can do that at Having a Ball Pod on Instagram or Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook. You can also email us at having a ball. I think I said that wrong, didn't I?
No, havingaballpod at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I love this community. I mean, I've always known that, you know, Lucy fanatics and really are historians, people who like to keep track of this old time Hollywood, not necessarily just Lucy, but because that's what we're doing. This community I've come to see is just so welcoming. You know, they're not, if you do something wrong or you misspeak, they'll gracefully correct you without it being, you know, a threat or aggressive or something. But, you know, we're all just like one big loving Lucy community. And, you know, I've come to know that. So I appreciate everybody listening. You guys are awesome.
It is. You guys are. And we do appreciate all the trivia that you're giving us, and even some of the corrections. I've made a few posts already talking about the corrections, and at some point we'll do a revisited where we revisit some of our episodes and talk about things we missed, extra trivia, and then some of the corrections we did. So there'll be a few times where we discuss what
and guests, because wrong. This, like I said, this community is filled with people that are more than happy to speak about all things Lucy and Desi Lu. So I think, you know, we'll have some guests upcoming, and people seem to like that. So I look forward to that too.
Yes. If you're interested in being a guest on our show, go ahead and send us an email and we can talk to you about that and see if we can get that going. So
That's fun. So find us on all your favorite podcast streaming services. We're just about everywhere and we're steadily growing. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. We will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.